One of those are, of course, a wonderful story of love, and that's not tonight's lesson, but certainly we'll be addressing that as we look at the book of Ruth and as we seek to know all the great things that are being taught in that book. You know, one of the wonderful things as you think about the book of Ruth is that it is an endless story. There are so many lessons that we can learn from this little book. It's only four chapters, and sometimes I think it has more packed in those four chapters than like the book of Matthew with 28 chapters. We look at Ruth and we read stories about tragedy. We read stories about triumph, and we'll read stories about making good choices and people that make bad choices. And yes, even a wonderful story of love. You know, it's endless, the values, the things that we can learn and glean from this book. People that decide to obey God are in the book. Importance of cleaving to God, it's in this book. Gleaning the riches that come with a relationship with God are in the book. God's providential care, His hand, you can see that in this book when you look at the things that are written. And there's one word in the book in chapter 3 that has the word happen. And it didn't just happen. You know, it's something that took place because of the providence of God. How God rewards those who obey Him and work their way through hard times and then find great reward at the end of that because they chose the path to follow the Lord. And we could spend a whole hour talking about how God has provided for Ruth and Naomi over their time there. Everything that they needed, they received, just like God promised us. And it enriched their lives, and it enriches our lives. And as we continue in this book, we realize that every child of God is nourished spiritually when we glean from God's field. And when you think about God's field right there, we can get such rich food from the precious Word of God. So tonight, we're going to talk about dedication to God and family. The majority of the lesson is going to be dedication to God. We'll have a smaller lesson on dedication to family. I kind of planned it that way because I was hoping the family would be here. And they're not. A lot of the families aren't here. The young kids and the parents, and I was hoping that they would, but that's okay because we'll all be able to learn the same way from this lesson. And then there's 3 points, dedication to God, dedication to family, and the 2 choices. As we have mentioned before, there will be 2 choices everybody has to face. None of us are exempt. And let's begin with dedication to God. Our service to God consists of 2 basic elements. First of all, to be totally dedicated to God requires obedient faith. Every one of us should be familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever comes to God must come and believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Ruth was somebody that exemplified that. And we'll talk about that as we go through the lesson, but she was somebody that she sought after the things of God. It's very apparent in the texts as we read them. And so that's one of the requirements. To be totally dedicated to God requires faith, and we know where faith comes from. In our sense, it comes from the Word of God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament build us up in the most holy faith, right? For her, there was no New Testament. But everything that she would have gleaned from having the relationship with Naomi, Elimelech, and Chilion, and Mahlon, they would have all been able to be teaching her along the way. We know for us that Jesus, of course, is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And in order to obey Him, we must learn. And the second point is that we must worship Him as He has directed us in His Word. And as we study again with Ruth, you're going to realize that the things that she actually did, the words that came out of her mouth, the actions of her hand and heart, they all point back to something in the Old Testament, some of the law And so that'll become very evident. John chapter 4:24 teaches us that we have to, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in the Old Testament we have Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, all who call upon him in truth. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. These are things that Ruth would have come to learn, these kinds of scriptures, the Old Testament, the Psalms, because they were not only sung, but they were taught very fervently. So in order to be dedicated to God, you have to have a complete turnaround. And Ruth was able to do that. There was a complete turnaround. Let's read Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 17 again, and you'll be able to get from that the gist of Ruth's heart. Again, realize that this is coming after Naomi has instructed both Ruth and Orpah to go back to their mother's house to get new husbands and to go back to their gods and out of bitterness, I think she said those words. And rightly so. But regardless, Ruth chose to stay. Ruth chose a better way. And what she said to Naomi was, in verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from you, following after you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Complete turnaround. You think about the magnitude of those words. She's not just saying, your God will be my God. She's saying, I'm putting away all the other gods. I'm putting away everything that I've ever learned in the past. I'm even putting away my parents and my friends, my family. I'm turning everything in my life over to your God, who's going to be my God. It requires a complete turn around. Those words just jump off the page of Holy Writ. As you read those, we read Ruth's pledge, your God will be my God. So desperately, those words are spoken in the light of what Naomi had told Ruth and Orpah. What does that imply now? Your God will be my God. As I already mentioned, it requires that she had to have made a clear, decisive decision in her own heart to follow after the God Jehovah, the God of the Israelites, to follow the way of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14 and 12, do you remember that? He tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, in this case a woman, but the end of it is death. She was following a way that seemed right. And, you know, when you think of that word seemed, you know, that word doesn't mean I know everything. I'm absolutely positive. My name is Ruth, and I have all the answers, and I just know that there's a God, and there's no question about it, and I'm going to follow this God. I've learned all the precepts. I've learned all the law. I can speak with the best Pharisees of Pharisees. That's not what that means. It seemed, right? And that's what we need to hang on to. We need to be a people that, you know, it seems to me that when I talk with members of the church, they face tragedy and they do it well. When I talk to members of the church, they seem to be very happy. It's a great big happy family. They do it well. I'm not saying churches never have trouble, but it seems to me. And that's what Ruth, what it seems right to her to follow the way of God and not the way of her own heart. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? And lean not on your own understanding. And Ruth would have learned those scriptures and she would have applied those to her heart and to her own life, and she would have begun that travel where it just seemed right to go this way instead of back home. It seems right, and it's so important for me to trust the Lord with all my heart. I have to take that step in faith. This morning we talked about Peter walking on the water. How did he do that? He took the step in faith. How does anybody ever, quote, become a Christian? How are you added to the body of Christ? Well, we know the rudimentary things. We know you have to believe, repent, and be baptized. Or confess Jesus and be baptized. You know that. I'm not telling you something that anybody in this room hasn't heard. But we have to go beyond the knowledge. And we have to trust that God is God. He created all things. His Son shed His blood upon that cross. His Son, by the witness of many, rose from the grave 3 days after He was buried, and He now sits at the right hand of God. We have to trust in the blood of Christ and in the message. And so we don't lean on our own understanding. And that's, I think, how Ruth would have been thinking. In Psalm 37, in verse 22, For those blessed by Him shall inherit. I think Ruth was looking to inherit. Not necessarily just something on this earth, but I think she was looking to inherit that home, that house built without hands. Not on this earth, but she was looking beyond that. Even though the text says those who are blessed by Him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. And so I think that was foremost in her mind. You know, just imagine she's listening to Naomi. They're given a decision to either go home or follow. And she's thinking, I don't want to be cut off. But you know, all of us should be thinking about that, because that's exactly what happens if we choose not to do what seems right in the eyes of God. Instead of what seems right in our own heart, because that's going to lead us to destruction. So she didn't consider the pledge a lighthearted thing. It wasn't a lighthearted decision. Not I'll follow you as long as it serves me. Because there we're off track again. I don't think she was interested in me, Ruth. I think she was interested in following her mother-in-law, Naomi, and keeping the law, being with Naomi. And so as you look at that, her words, you know, that her words just turn things around completely. It shows her dedication, her desire to put her life behind her, her desire to look for hopes in another land, a strange land, her desire and to put her fears in the hands of the Creator God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How many times have we heard that? How many times? Do you know what it means to love with all? Right? That leaves nothing else, no room for anything else. I'm going to love God when I get up. I'm going to love God when I go to bed. I'm going to love God on the way to work. And I'm going to love God while I'm at work. I'm going to love God while I'm having lunch. I'm going to love God even if I go to a baseball game for fun. I'm going to love God all the time. Everything that I do is going to be based on the decision that I made to love God with all my heart. And so the things that I choose to do are going to be based upon the things that God would have me do. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. You know, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and walk in all His ways? Verse 13, keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you this day for your good. That's what it means to love your God. And, you know, look at this verse here, Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Do you think Ruth may have heard that? Naomi was getting old. Naomi as much told us that as she described the fact that she's too old to have a child, it's too late to have a husband, and even if I could, who's going to take care of her? Orpah didn't seem to think too much about that. Ruth took it upon herself. And I believe it was because she had somewhere along the line heard these kinds of commandments. Her words, Ruth's own words, As we look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, listen to what Ruth says here. And we're thinking here how she showed her dedication to God. Verse 11, then Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me that you have done for your mother-in-law, what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to the people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Boaz said that about Ruth. Why did he say that? Because Ruth has been doing everything according to the law. Ruth has been gleaning in the fields according to the law. Her dedication to Naomi and to even to Boaz in verse 11, when Boaz makes this, everything you've done has been fully reported to me. You can see her life opened up, as some people would say, like an open book. In Psalm 36 and verse 7, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust in the shadow of your wings." That's what Boaz was quoting. Boaz was likening the things that Ruth had been reported about her, that the way in which she handled herself among the people, and he quoted the scriptures about her. You know, that wouldn't happen unless you deserved it. And she certainly did. Boaz understood her dedication, as he mentions there in verse 11. He answered, he talked about how she has been reported of her, all the wonderful things that you've done. So here's a question. What's going to be reported of you? You know, we just read, love the Lord your God with all your heart. What is going to be reported of you? Will the report say, he was a slave to sin? He sinned all the time. Or she. Or will the report say, but that person obeyed God. I saw a change in that person. They obeyed God from the heart. They obeyed the doctrine of Christ. And they were delivered, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 17. Is that what's going to be said when the people talk about you? What will people report about you? How about, I told that person, don't talk to me about Jesus. I just told them, I don't even want to hear it. You just go to the other side of the room. I don't want to hear it. And he didn't. Is that what's going to be reported about you? Or are they going to say, I told him not to talk about Jesus, and he said, I ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. That's how we want the report to be. Ruth had a great report. All A's. How about, will people say of you, you know, I don't think that person ever had any problem with fornication. I don't think they had problems with adultery. I don't think that person had any problem with homosexuality. That person has no problem with drunkenness, stealing. I see them all the time. Or will they say, you know what, he used to have a problem with fornication. He used to have no problem with adultery. He used to have no problem with homosexuality. He used to not have a problem with people stealing, and he used to drink like a drunken sailor. And then they report, but he was washed. He was sanctified. And he was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Is that what they'll say? You know, what people report about you is important. It's important. It's no different than going to school and getting straight A's or straight F's, because your father is going to see that report card. and you can't change it like we did in school. You can't erase it and make a C into a D or B. I don't know. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd change it into a, I never did that, so I don't know how they do that. But people change their report cards. Can't do that with God. You think about the way in which people report you. Or, as in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, in regard to all these things, will they think it strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you? You're not wasting your life like everybody else. And they think, boy, that's really strange. That guy won't come. He won't party. Boy, how are they going to report? Remember Ruth's roots. When you think about this, remember her life before God. Not before God, but ahead of God, before she knew God. Remember her faith was in other gods. She lived in the land of Moab. She chose not to despise her mother when she was old. We read that, Proverbs 23:22. She chose that. She didn't walk away from Naomi. She chose to cling to Naomi. She said, your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. She had the right mindset. And I think that was because of the things that she, of course, had been taught. Everything that she did that's recorded, it's very similar when she left home as Abraham, when he left home. He's going off to a place where he doesn't know, an unfamiliar place. But he just packed up and went. And that's the way, spiritually, we want to learn that from Ruth. Hebrew chapter 11:8 again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place when he would receive, which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's what Ruth did. She didn't know. She had no clue what was going to take place. And as we go down the list, we realize that, you know, she dedicated herself completely into the hands of God. She wasn't dedicating herself into the hands of Naomi. She was there to help Naomi, to serve her mother-in-law, to be a helpmate to her mother-in-law. But she was laying herself out into the hands of God, trusting in His providential care, in His ability to provide for her and for her mother-in-law everything they needed. She trusted that. I don't think she would have gone otherwise. And what we see is the fact that she left everything behind. Remember I said family, God's prospect of a new husband. She forsook it all to trust in Jehovah. Where are you at today? What are people going to report about you? What will Jesus say in the end of all time? Because remember, whatever God said will come to pass. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Behold, the day is coming. I'm going away of all the earth, Joshua said. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, not one thing has failed in all the good things that the Lord your God has spoke concerning you. Joshua knew. And he trusted God. And he went into the promised land. How would Ruth know these things? You know, you say, Dave, well, how do you know she knew all that? Well, you know, I'm assuming. I'm making necessary inferences here. Because remember, Ruth trusted the Lord, His provision. She learned about Jehovah. She was married for nearly 10 years to a Jew. You know somebody for 10 years and you're close to that person for 10 years and you start learning about that person. You learn what they think. They learn what you think. And if that person is a Jew, they're going to be teaching you about God. They're going to teach you about Jehovah. They're going to teach you about the Lord. And what would she have learned? She would have learned Exodus chapter 3 verses 7 and 8. God took the people out of Egypt. The powerful hand of God took the people right out of Egypt. He saw the oppression of His people and He took them He heard their cry. He saw their taskmasters. He saw their sorrows. He delivered them. She would have been taught that. Without any question, she would have been taught that. That he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians to bring them up into a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. She would have known that. There is no way that I could possibly imagine a woman being married to a Jewish man with a Jewish mother, a brother, and not learn these basic things about God. She would have learned that in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 17, or Exodus chapter 17, beginning in the first verse of the chapter, following down to about the 7th, 8th verse, that God brought water from a rock. Simply by having Moses hit that rock 2 times. That's the time when he told Moses to hit it twice. And water came forth from the rock. Manna in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 16. She would have known that. The land of milk and honey that we just talked, Joshua chapter 3. All that beautiful land. And she would have heard those great, great accounts. She would have heard how God defeated the armies, overthrew the nations. How Joshua would have said, the Lord your God, he fights for you as he promised. She would have been able to trust in all these things. Powerful messages. Ruth would have learned. She would have learned this text. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. Why? It shall be for the stranger. What was Ruth? Stranger. For the fatherless and the widow, what was Ruth? A widow. That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Ruth would have heard that. Why did Ruth go out in the field and glean? She didn't do that just for herself. She did that to provide for her mother-in-law. Another part of the law. So as you look at this, you almost have to just ask yourself questions. How would she learn obedience? Why did she say to Naomi, please let me go into the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor? Why would you say that? I could be married to my wife for 10 years, have a daughter-in-law. I die, my daughter-in-law is not going to go to work for my wife. To provide. But see, Ruth, why did Ruth ask the servant in charge of the reapers, please let me glean after the reapers? How would she know that she's supposed to, why didn't she just run up there and start picking that stuff fresh like the reapers? Why did she know to walk behind them? Because in the 10 years that she was with them, she was learning what was right in the sight of God. Why did she labor so long? You know, it says she continued from morning until the end of day with only a little rest, verse 2 and 7. Why did she do that? You think of the parable of the workers in the vineyard, what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 20, how that they came in the very early of the morning and they hired laborers, and then they went out about the 11th hour and they hired laborers, and then later on the last man only worked an hour. You know how many hours they worked? At least 12. And that was probably pretty average. So she's out there working in the hot sun, laboring, picking up scraps for 12 hours so that she could provide for Naomi. What a heart. I hope you'll take time tonight as we study this to consider your own state, your own condition, your own soul, and the way in which you are together, either with the Lord or walking away from the Lord. Because again, whatever God said will come to pass. Not one word that he ever spoke will fall to the ground. If you're a child of God, you want to examine yourselves against the scriptures always. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And look into the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse 25. And when you walk away, look at your life the way it is and do what you have to do to make things right in the sight of God. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. Learn to love the Lord with all your heart. And all those blessings and wonderful things will be yours. Or if you're not a child of God, you can turn around your life. You can repent If I were to ask everybody in the room tonight, is there anybody in this room that has ever sinned? Every hand should go up, right? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. But if you're in this room tonight, and I ask that question, if I asked you to raise your hand better go up, or you're just a liar, right? We've all sinned. Every one of us. Well, if you're admitting in your heart right now, in your head, you're admitting, yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have lied. Yes, I've done something wrong in the eyes of God. That's in your mind right now, your heart. I don't care who you are in this room. You're thinking that right now because I asked the question and you know the answer. If somebody stole your car, do you think that person should be judged? You think they should get in trouble? Maybe they go to jail. Maybe they pay a fine. You think there should be a penalty for breaking the law? And I hope you're all thinking, yeah. Well, if you think that, then you agree with me that God will recompense judgment upon every one of us in this room. Unless we're washed by the blood of Christ. Unless that sin's washed away, you are going to face God. You can't tell me you don't believe in justice. That somehow God's not just because he's just doing what any other judge would do. Only righteously. Because he is the only one that is righteous. In that case, you'd have to be willing to repent, to change whatever your life is doing that's not pleasing to God, to things that are pleasing to God, according to his will, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Remember this. I want you to remember and understand that Ruth did all those things. In spite of Naomi's discouraging word. In spite of the influences of this world, her friends, her mother-in-law, doesn't matter who it was, she still chose the right path. And you can be like Ruth, you can obey God, your life can be filled with the blessings and that only he can provide, but it's your choice. There isn't one person on earth that's going to bend your, twist your arm, make you get up and make you be baptized, make you accept Christ, make you confess him. Nobody's going to do that. From the beginning of the church, nobody has ever done that. And I know there were people in the world that do those kinds of things, but not the church. It's your choice. I want you to think about that. Her dedication is seen in her requests that she made to Boaz, chapter 1 and verse 9. Take your maidservants under your wing, for you are a close relative. Again, she got that from the law. You think that just popped out of her head? Hey, you know what? He's a close relative. I'm going to ask him to take me under his wing. No, she got that from the law. And she dedicated herself. Marriage and duty of the surviving brothers, part of the law, she would have known that. If the husband dies without a widow, the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. This was preserved to help to preserve the bloodline, the lineage. This is what was the preserved and to the practice wasn't something from the Moabites. She didn't learn that in the cities there. She would have gotten that from God. And we must have our whole hearts in service to God. Every part. The scriptures, they teach us that a wise heart seeks knowledge. Proverbs 18:15. A wise heart seeks knowledge. We need to walk in the statutes and the commandments of God. Think about this, that let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord. 1 Kings 8:61. Walk in his statutes. The New Testament's filled with admonitions too. As we look at this, 2 Timothy, this is how we fill ourselves up with the admonitions, with the teaching of the Lord. That's how we gain wisdom and knowledge. And that's how we learn the truth that makes us free. We spend time studying God's Word so that we're approved unto God. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And we sanctify the Lord our God in our hearts. We do that by the study of the Word. By loving Him, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we give Him all the glory. That's how you get to a place where you're seeking God, desiring His will to be your will. We're also taught that the things that we read from the Old Testament, those things are things that are there for our admonition, for our learning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And so what's written by Jeremiah, what's written by in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and 1 Chronicles, what's written in Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, they're all there for our learning. Man cannot find his way by his feelings. Man can never find salvation for the soul by what's in his own heart. He needs God to direct his steps. And I think Naomi is a prime example of somebody who's dedicated themselves in the service of God. And let's turn our idea, our attention here to dedication of family. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 through 7, 16a through 17, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. She's saying that because she wants to be with Naomi. She wants to be with her mother-in-law, somebody that she's learned and come to love. And because maybe she was taught, honor your father and your mother. Maybe she was taught that. It will be well with you in the land. Maybe she was taught that. Ruth provides for Naomi. That's what this text there was all about. Ruth said, please let me go in the field and glean the heads of grain after him whose sight I may find favor. And when she did glean, she brought food back to her mother-in-law in support of her mother-in-law, which would have been a very difficult way of living back in those days. It has been fully reported to me that all you have done for your mother-in-law, she did these things. What she had kept back when she was given a plentiful dinner by Boaz, and she couldn't eat it all, and she packed it away and took it home and gave it to Naomi. She cared. She was concerned with that family structure. Ruth obeyed Naomi. When Naomi said, look at chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman and the people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women. Her mother-in-law told her what to do. She did it. And that's the way it should be in the family. Also, look at chapter 3, verse 1. My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? I want you to think about that. Her daughter-in-law was important to her, and the mother is out to seek security for the daughter-in-law, for the child. In Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I think she was training all that. Those 10 years, they were training. Ephesians 6 and 4 in the New Testament, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up into the training and admonition of the Lord. That's something we should be doing to our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, Hear, O Israel, this is called the great Shema, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God and with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And he says in verse 6, And those words which I command you today shall be on your heart. Or in your heart, he said. You shall teach them diligent to your children. You shall talk of them. When you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your forehead, on your head. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, the scripture says. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. Talking about training up our children, talking about teaching them the way of God is something that Elimelech, Chilion, Mahlon, and Naomi would have done for Ruth. And I want you to think about that, frontlets between the eyes. I mean, how many of us would walk around with that thing on our head? But they did it because it was commanded. In that little thing called a phylactery, some of the Jewish call it a teflon, and it was just, it was worn on the forehead. They had strips or parchments of scriptures in it. And they put in four little strips and little, they folded up into little squares, and it had the Hebrew letter shin in it, which was, points out, the 3 points or emblem of God. It was something that everybody knew. God is my God. Teach your children. It's that important. You have to be teaching your children pretty strongly to get them to run around with that on their heads. But you know what? It's not that. But it's Christ. It's not that, but it's the Word of God. It's not that, but it's the light of the world that you're supposed to be. That's your phylactery. That's your frontlets or your teflon. And those things are really, really important. Deuteronomy teaches us that. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. I want you to look at that and think about this. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And we have two mothers in the room tonight, mothers-to-be. We have other parents here. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of thy womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are your children of one's youth, of the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them, for they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." We're learning from this that we need to think of our children as arrows that were, and you may have seen this before in another message, they're arrows. You're pointing those arrows to something good. But the fact is, wherever you point them, that's where they're going to go. It doesn't matter. When we think of Psalm 127, every child is a heritage. We are the ones that are to raise those children. We're the ones that are supposed to teach those children and remember that they belong to God. They're only on loan to us. Like the arrow in the hand of a warrior, it's your responsibility to aim those children. You don't want them to miss the mark. And in this world today, we have too many people, too many parents, even in the church, that spend their entire free time running kids around to baseball games, soccer games, football games, dances, whatever event it is, and they spend so little time on aiming that children the way they should go. And we've talked about this before. You know, what good is it? You want your child to be a Major League Baseball player, earn $1 million for hitting a baseball, or 10, 20 million. So you put all your time and energy, you buy the best equipment, you get the best coaches, you put them on the best teams, they travel all over the country, they miss worship, but it's okay because look, they're going to reach that goal. You want your child to be a doctor, so you want them to have PhD or MD or whatever letters after their name. And remember, what good is it to have PhD if you don't have G-O-D? Serious. If you don't have God after the name, what good is all those letters? What good is all that education? What good is all that money? We're supposed to raise our children up so that they seek God first and all His righteousness. And too many people put the games or the activities in front of God. Listen, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Let's take that to heart. We need to be teachers by examples. If we spend so much time doing all kinds of fun things, if I like to fish and every moment I have in life I'm in a boat out on Lake Erie and I'm not home training my kids, or maybe I take the kids out on the boat with me and all I'm doing is teaching them how to fish, I'm not aiming that child in the way in which they should go. Love the one, the only God. Teach them His way. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Aim that child right into God. Romans 6:23, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, all the spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through the blood, and he's made us alive in the Lord. In him. That's where you gotta aim your children. And don't make light of that. Don't think that's not important. Because there's nothing more important than that. Well, you know, that brings us to our third point tonight, and I think this is something that I'd like to just express this idea. And I mentioned this in one of the other sermons. You get this image of Naomi and Orpah and Ruth walking down a road together. Naomi turns around and she tells the two women, go on home. I'm paraphrasing. Go home. You know, go to your mother. Go get new husbands. Go to your gods. Just go home. One of them went home. The other one chose to follow. Turn your Bibles, if you have them in front of you, to the book of Matthew chapter 25, and we'll conclude with the choice, because we all have to make the choice. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left hand. And the king will say to those on his right hand, now those on his right hand are people that made a choice. They made a choice to follow. Not Naomi. They made a choice to follow God. I don't think Ruth only wanted to follow Naomi. Remember, she said, your God will be my God. And so they made a choice. A necessary choice. And the king in verse 34 will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. And Jesus goes on to talk about how the reason is because they did God's will. In verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left hand, those are people that made a choice. They chose not to follow. Orpah chose not to follow. And so she went the other way. How many of you have read the book of Orpah? Anybody here read the book of Orpah? Why not? Because there isn't one. How many have read the book of Ruth? And why? Because she made the right choice. Orpah didn't. And he says, then I will say to those on my left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You didn't do what I asked you to do. In verse 46, these who did not do will go into everlasting punishment, but those who did do will go into the righteous. The righteous will go into eternal life. It's your choice. The invitation song, we're ready to sing that tonight. Song number 812. If you have any desire whatsoever, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.